How many of you, when you watch the news and you see the things that are happening in this world, how many of you understand that this world in our country is getting pretty bad?
Amen.
Amen. You know, things are happening today that many of us never dreamed would ever take place. People are thinking, their way of thinking today is something that many of us cannot understand at all. You know, there are many Christians who wonder why other Christians can't see some of the things that are going on and see them for what they are. And I think that Isaiah chapter 59 here kind of gives us a light on why things are getting so bad in this country and in this town, and why people are just not able to see the way that they should be able to see and see things for the way they are. You know, I will tell you this, when we read our Bibles, the Bible tells you the way things should be. Amen? I mean, if we're thinking right and we're obeying God, then it makes it very clear what's right, what's wrong, and the way we should think, the way we should live. But even Christians today don't necessarily line up their belief, their thoughts, and the things they see don't line up to what the Scripture says. And there's a reason for that. Isaiah chapter 59, look if you would, starting at verse 9. It says, "Therefore is judgment far from us," Isaiah says, "neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far, far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your word, and Lord, I just pray that all of us will make the word of God our final authority in all matters. Now, Lord, many of us say that we do, but at the end of the day, that's not necessarily true with many Christians. Lord, we are to live and to do everything we do, Lord, according to the word of God. We know what's right and wrong according to the word of God, and Lord, help us to love our word and be committed to obeying it, Lord, and for your glory. And Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, if there's somebody here who has not obeyed the gospel that's found in the word of God, Lord, they have never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll give them even more conviction, Lord, and show them their desperate need for a Savior before it's too late. And Lord, I just pray that if there are Christians here today, Lord, that are not operating their lives according to the word of God, they're not doing what the word of God says, Lord, help them to understand the importance of living the way you'd have us live, and obeying the word of God. Lord, I pray you'll just speak to our hearts now, Lord, and just keep us from anything that would disturb us, Father, and help us to focus on your word just for a moment this morning. And Lord, we're going to trust that you'll do a great work in us with your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here we see the prophet Isaiah telling Israel some of the things that they had done wrong. And then he tells them that they're going to be judged for doing these things. Now, that's pretty much the way it is whenever you read all the way through the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament. God continually sent prophets to tell Israel about their sins and to plead with them to repent and warn them of God's coming judgment. You'll notice that whenever these prophets came, they usually did not get a great response. You know, it's kind of been the same way, folks, for a long, long time. You know, these prophets were sent to warn Israel. We're sent to warn the world. But you know, most people are going to blow us off. Most people are going to scoff. Most people are going to make fun of us. Most people will not repent. Listen, we go out and we tell people that the judgment of God is coming. And we know the importance of it. We know that one of these days it is going to come. We know one of these days that death is going to come knocking at everybody's door. And when that day comes, you better be saved. Amen? Because if you don't, that Bible says that the wrath of God is upon all unrighteousness. And listen, if you're here today and you're not saved, your righteousness is not righteousness that's going to satisfy God. Only the righteousness of His Son will satisfy Him. And you must be saved. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Or folks, listen, when death comes knocking at your door, the judgment of God is going to come upon you. And so I'm going to encourage you today, if you've never received Jesus Christ, it is urgent that you do that. Amen. It is urgent that you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you obey the gospel. Because, listen, you don't want the wrath of God coming upon you. You don't want the judgment of God coming upon you. But that's pretty much the way it was with these minor prophets. And the major prophets, God continually sent the prophets to Israel about their sins and plead with them to repent and warn them of God's coming judgment. But as you read the Bible, you'll find out that most of the time they didn't. They didn't. I tell you when they did, though, when everything got really, really bad, then they seemed to repent. But then once things started to get good and all of a sudden they started living the way the Bible tells them not to live, the way God told them not to live, and then all of a sudden God will send a prophet and say, listen, you're messing up, and if you don't get straight, the judgment of God's going to come upon you. And usually it didn't help. But just the way God sent those prophets in regard to Israel, we've been sent by God to do the same thing in regards to this world. And what is that Isaiah is doing here, he's reminding them that they had gone astray, and he's reminding them of how God would judge them. Now, I want you to notice some things that were going on in Israel at this time. I want you to notice, when you notice these things, I want you to kind of think about what's going on in your world right now. Look back, if you would, starting at verse 7. It says, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. How many of you read the news this morning? The shootings down in El Paso. Brother Bob prayed about it this morning. It says right there, make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. People were quick to do wrong rather than doing right. Murder was rampant. There was no justice in the land. The judges, the lawmakers, they were out there judging without righteous judgment. How many of you have seen that in your world today, in this country? It sounds familiar. When we start to see judges judging with unrighteous judgment, hey, listen, folks, it's not going to get better unless something changes. And it's not just people's morals all of a sudden going to change on their own. Listen, we need to pray for revival in this country. We need to pray that God will change things in this country. Look at verse 9. It says, for we wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. People walking around like they were blind, like they couldn't see what was right there before their very eyes. There are things that they should have been able to see that they couldn't see. How many of you know that there are even Christians today that when things are going on, they should be able to see it for what it is, but they don't see it? Why do you think that is? Because the devil's very good about blinding people. Very good. Now look at verse 11. We roar like bears and mourn like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression, revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. They're saying this. They're saying that they had gotten away from the Lord. Look at verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departed from evil, making himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. This is saying that there were people that during that time that were actually trying to live right. But then when they did, they became prey. They became persecuted. In other words, people look at them and say, oh, I guess you're a do-gooder. I mean, rather than look at them doing something that's good, they made fun of them, they persecuted them. Kind of like what's going on in our country today. Saddest thing is all the blindness and all that wickedness and all the injustices, their unrighteous judgment, it had all become normal in their society. It become a normal thing. That which is evil was being called good, and that which was good was being called evil. And it seems like so many people in Israel who had the knowledge of the judgment of God in the past, or perhaps they knew the judgment of God in the past, but they didn't care. It's either they didn't know it, or they knew it and they didn't care. Now, no doubt there are a few that there in Israel at that time. The Bible talks about them there being a remnant. And by the way, that's a great subject to study is remnants in the Bible. You'll notice there's always been a remnant. It doesn't matter where it is, there's always been somebody that was right with God when everybody else wasn't. Amen? Now, I want to encourage you today. We look at our country and we think that it's getting bad, and it is. Okay? And we look at politics and we think, boy, it's getting bad, and it is. But don't forget, there are still those there that are still serving the Lord. There are Christians around. There are those that have not bowed the knee. There always has been. Now, I'm not saying that remnant is big, but I'm saying that there are still Christians around that are trying to live right. And no doubt they're being persecuted for it. Okay? But there's a remnant here who were right with God, even right here in Israel during the time of Isaiah. People who had not bowed the knee to Baal, who looked at the lack of knowledge that everyone had and wondered to themselves, how did it get so bad? I mean, how did things get so bad? How did things get so far out of control? How did things ever get this way? Have you ever wondered that? I mean, have you ever sit back and watch the news or listen to people talk and say, how in the world did it get this bad? I do. Except I take it a step further. I say, how in the world did it get this bad so fast? How many of you understand just in the last 10 years how fast we've started to go down when it comes to morals? Now, I'm not saying we've ever been morally right, certainly not in my lifetime. I mean, when I was a teenager, things were pretty bad too. But boy, I tell you what, in the last 10 years, it just seems like it is... And I tell you what I think it is. I think the Lord's getting ready to come. Amen. The Bible says men would wax worse and worse, and we're seeing it come about. The Bible never tells you that this world is going to get better. Only Darwin tells you that. God says this world is going to get worse and worse, and man's going to get worse and worse, and it is. How many of you understand it's got to get worse before it gets better? Now, if you don't understand that, you need to read your Bible, okay? Because pretty much the entire book of Revelation tells you that. Once you get from Revelation chapter 4 all the way to Revelation chapter 19, you'll notice that things really, really, really get bad, then all of a sudden everything's great when Christ gets on the throne. And so that's the reason most Christians, I'm sure you do this morning, that you're looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time I watch the news, I'm looking forward to Him. Even though when I don't watch the news, I'm looking forward to Him coming. But here, the remnant, no doubt that they were wondering how things got so bad the same way we wonder. Well, I will tell you that Isaiah doesn't beat around the bush here. He tells you point blank. He tells us point blank why it was so bad then and how things had gotten so bad then. And when he tells you how things got so bad then, it's telling us the same reason that things are getting bad now. Here in Isaiah, he talks about it. And he doesn't beat around the bush. He just tells them the blunt truth. Here it is, verse 14. You want to know why everything's so bad back then and why everything's so bad now? And here in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 14, notice the words it says, for truth is fallen in the street. For truth is fallen in the street. The problems they had were not because of political leadership. The problems that Israel had was not because the wrong people were in the Supreme Court. It was not because of the economy. It was not because of education. Isaiah says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that truth is falling in the street. When the truth should have been taught in their homes, when the truth should have been lived out in their lives before others so that other people could see the power of the living God, that truth had been kicked to the curb, so to speak. And the things that were happening in Israel during that time, and also in our country today, The way people think today, and the way that they're, you know, the things that they think about and their philosophy of life, it's absolutely amazing sometimes. I'm telling you, when I hear people start to talk about the way they view life, it just blows my mind because I'm thinking to myself, where did you get this? People are thinking wrong. Even Christians are thinking wrong today. Hey, listen, like you've heard me say before, when you go out there and you're witnessing to somebody, when you're going out to, hey, listen, I know street preachers all over this country. When they go out there and start street preaching, do you know who the people are that heckle on them the most? Take a guess. It's Christians, or at least professing Christians. And they'll say things like, well, you know, I'm a Christian too, but I don't shove it down people's throat. That's thinking wrong, folks. That Bible says that we're supposed to go out there and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we go out there and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, you got a Christian sitting there rebuking you because you're trying to cram it down their throat.
Amen.
Something's wrong. You say, what's wrong? The truth has been kicked to the curb. The truth has fallen in the streets. Today, just as it was in Isaiah, truth is indeed fallen in the street. Now, even though there are some naysayers out today that say, well, America's done, and, you know, stick a fork in her, and there's no chance that we can correct things, and there's no chance for revival. I'm not one of those people that say that. Listen, I believe that with God all things are possible.
Amen.
And I believe this, I tell you this, I believe in prayer, folks. I'll tell you one reason I believe in prayer is because I'm alive today.
Yeah.
Some of the things I did when I was younger, that had to be somebody praying for me. That's a fact. I know my grandmother was. I know my mama was. And because, listen, everything I have today is by the grace of God, and somebody prayed. I believe in prayer. I remember praying for a guy one time that was 80 years old to get saved, and that fella got saved. Now, I'm not saying that God controlled that, but what I am saying is this, that prayer is a powerful thing. And listen, for those people, they say America is just gone. There's no way that we're ever going to do anything for, and there's no chance for revival. I don't believe that at all. I do believe this, that it'll never happen until Christians start getting right with God and start serving God and start doing what they're supposed to be doing and doing what that Bible tells them to do. And rather than kicking the truth to the street, they start living the truth like they're supposed to and telling other people about the truth. The truth was falling in the street. We need to get the truth back where it belongs. And to do that, we need to be able to answer a few questions this morning about truth. First question we need to ask this morning about truth is exactly what is truth? That's the first thing we need to ask. I mean, how in the world can we put truth back where it belongs until we know what truth is? Well, what is truth? If you remember over in John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38, a fellow by the name of Pilate asked that very same thing. In John chapter, turn over to John chapter 18. Turn over to John chapter 18. I don't want you to see this. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Look at verse 37. It says, Pilate therefore, John 18, 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, talking to Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? What is truth? That's a good question. What is truth? Now, you'll notice when you're reading your Bible that when the Bible speaks of truth, sometimes it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let no man come to the Father but by me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I am the truth. I am the truth. So sometimes when it's talking about the truth, it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. But also there are times when the Bible speaks of truth, it's referring to the very words that God spoke. For example, in John 17, 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. Thy word is truth. Truth such as, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's truth. That's truth. Truth like every knee shall bow to the Lord and every tongue shall confess to God, that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's truth. That is, listen folks, you could take it to the bank. That's truth. It's talking about the truth that one day there'll be judgment before the great white throne of judgment, where those who do not have their names written in the book of life will be thrown in the lake of fire. It's talking about the truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth that there are none righteous, no, not one. And that the wages of sin is death, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's truth. That's truth. It's talking about truth like, unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. That's truth. Truth is every word in your Bible. That's what's been thrown in the street. That's what's been thrown in the street today in many places in this country and in this town. People disregard the truth. So many do not believe the truth. And false teaching has replaced the truth in so many churches today. Truth has been fallen in the street. And if we're ever going to get the truth back to where it belongs, we need to first understand what truth is. And truth is what the Bible says. Not what your opinion is. Not the way you were taught by somebody. It's what does it say?
Amen.
That's the first thing. That's the first thing we need to understand is what truth is. But then there's another question that must be answered. Before we can ever get truth back to where it belongs, we need to understand what truth is, but we also need to understand who it was that threw this truth in the street to begin with. Well, back in the time of Isaiah, there was a time when that the older generations knew the truth. They had experienced it. They knew the true and living God. They knew that it was God that delivered them from Egypt, had them cross the Red Sea. They knew that God had been their protector and provider there in the wilderness. They remember how God had executed judgment on those who were disobedient, people like Korah, who the Bible says the earth opened up and swallowed. But they knew, they knew the truth about God's judgment. They knew the truth about God's power. They knew the truth about God's grace and his mercy. They understood all this. But as time went on, even though God had told all the earlier generations to put a difference between holy and unholy and between clean and unclean, and that they may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord had spoken unto them by the hand of Moses, that's what they were supposed to be doing with the truth. Passing it down, telling others about it. Generation after generation. But this generation dropped the ball. This right here, you know, probably told them probably about 80% of what God had actually done. And then that generation probably only told the next one about 50% of what God had actually done. And then a generation after that only talked about maybe a third of what God had done. And then pretty soon you have a generation that's just godless, that doesn't know anything about what God did.
Amen.
You're seeing the same thing in this country today.
Amen.
There was a time, folks, listen, when I was a little boy, I remember that, boy, they put up a tent outside and put some fans in there. You know what we all went over there and it didn't matter how hot it was. And we'd sit under there sweating and all the ladies are like this right here.
Amen.
And that preacher got up there preaching. I think back and that was some of the best times of my life.
Amen.
I loved it. You know, you realize today if we put something out here in this parking lot and we even put it in the paper, that we're going to have revival meetings and there's going to be preaching out there. You'd almost have to beg even Christians to come to that. You know why? Because people don't take God as seriously as they have in the past. Listen, even when I was young, an unsaved person who was facing troubles in life, they knew where to go. They knew where to go. Hey, listen, if drunkard said, hey, I want to get right, you know, I need to quit drinking. You know where he would go 50 years ago?
Yes,
to church.
That's right.
Not today. Not today. Do you know what they go today? What they'll do is they'll go to all these different organizations. Now, I'm not against those organizations, but what I am saying is this, that even 50 years ago, lost people saw the importance of religion a whole lot more than even a lot of saved people do today. Hey, listen, folks, there are a lot of saved people today. They only come to church twice a year, Easter and Christmas. And they feel really good about that. People thinking different than what they used to. Rather than proclaiming the Word of God, the truth about God, rather than teaching their children the Bible about the Lord and His goodness, rather than living their lives as if the truth meant something to them, they instead threw the truth to the street. and began to do that which was right in their own eyes. And after a while, because they had not done what they were supposed to do with the truth, now the truth was being trampled on, stepped on, laughed at, made fun of. It was the very people who had the truth back in Isaiah's day who threw that truth into the street because they had done that. Their whole world now was messed up because they had thrown the truth to the street. And may I tell you this morning that the reason that things are the way they are in our society, in our town, is not because of unsaved people. It's not because of unsaved people. There have always been unsaved people. It's not because of corrupt politicians. There's always been corruptness. I mean, since Adam ate the fruit, there's always been corruptness. The reason why things have gone so crazy in this world is because those who have the truth and those who have been given responsibility to tell others the truth and those who should have loved the truth have instead thrown the truth in the street. Who is it that has the truth today? Who is it that has the responsibility of getting that truth out? Listen to what Galatians chapter 2, verse 5 says. It says, to whom we give place by subjection, know not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know who he's talking to? Christians. He said that the truth of the gospel was supposed to continue with us. It's our responsibility. In 1 Timothy 3:15 it says, but if I tarry long, Paul says, that thou mayest know how that thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's our responsibility. 2 John 1:12 says, and for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. It's Christians who have the truth today. The unsaved, they don't know the truth. The unsaved, they don't have the responsibility to tell others about Christ. The task has been given to Christians. And so when the truth is thrown in the street, it can only be Christians who threw it there. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I know this is blunt, folks. I know it is, but the truth of the matter is this. When you look out the world and you see things going on like it is, I'm not telling you that if every Christian always lived like he was supposed to, that nobody would sin. I'm not saying that at all because, hey, listen, you know, back in my father's time, there was still John Dillinger. Amen? And people are a whole more spiritual then than they are now. I mean, you've always had sin, but what I am saying is this. As Christians, when we watch the news and we see things happen, like happened this week or what has been happening for a long time now, and we hear people, you know, claiming something right that God's already claimed to be an abomination, and when we start to see people live lives that we know displease God and should bring the wrath of God upon this country, when we see that and we say, how did it get so bad? You want to know whose fault it is? It's ours. It's ours. Why? We're the ones who have the truth. We're the ones responsible for the truth. Listen, folks, don't you understand that without Christians, you know how bad this world would be? And I'm not saying it's Christians. It's the power of God through Christians. If we weren't here and God wasn't working through us, you know how bad this world would be? I tell you how bad it's going to be. Read your Bible in Revelation. It tells you how bad it's going to be. But as Christians on this earth, we have a responsibility. We have the truth. And we need to do with that truth what we're supposed to do with it. Those people in Israel, things had gotten so bad because they had a whole generation who had the truth but didn't tell anybody about it. Why? Those people there didn't know. Listen, that new generation come up there in Israel, they didn't fear God. Why should they? Nobody told them about what God did. Nobody passed anything down to them. I'm not giving them a free pass because we'll all stand before God. We're all responsible for what we do. But I will tell you this. If somebody had maybe spoken up and said, hey, listen, it was God who parted the Red Sea. It's God who provided for us. Hey, when that ground opened up and it swallowed up Korah, that was God who did that. You better fear God and live right. Maybe some people wouldn't have done what they did there in Isaiah.
Amen. Amen.
And may I tell you today, if we hadn't dropped the ball in the past, maybe, just maybe, it wouldn't be so bad today.
Amen.
Maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
Amen.
Truth is falling in the streets. When our kids see us living ways that we ought not live, when we live worldly lives that's contrary to the Word of God, it shows that either we do not believe the truth of the Bible or that we believe the truth of the Bible and we just don't care. When the lost world sees us live the way we ought not live, it's as if we've taken the truth and thrown it right there in the streets. as though it's not even important to us at all. Christians have thrown the truth in the streets. Christians are treating truth as if it's just an opinion. We have taken the truth out of our homes. We've taken the truth out of our churches. And we have thrown the truth in the streets to be trampled on by men. And that's why families are messed up today. That's why there's dysfunction today. And that's the reason the dysfunction, honestly, has become the norm. That's why people believe that things are okay that God says are not okay. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing with the truth. And so that brings me to the last thing. We saw what truth was, or what truth is. We saw who was responsible for throwing it in the street. Final question is this, is what are we supposed to do now with the truth that is in the street? What are we supposed to do with it? Well, let's begin with what we're not supposed to do with it. We're not to establish our own truth. Many today have beliefs about things that are not based on the Bible at all. Instead, those beliefs are based on emotions. They're based on past experiences. In some cases, what people believe are based on the teachings of men. But we're not to discard what God has already established as being the truth. We're not to try to replace the truth with our opinions or what we think or, you know, our own way of reasoning or with anything else other than what the truth is actually written in your Bible. At the end of the day, folks, listen, at the end of the day, if you're asking me to choose between your reasoning and the way you think about things and your opinion as compared to what that Bible says, I'm going to take the Bible every time. Why? We have to. Why? Because nowhere are we told that your opinion or my opinion or our reasoning is truth, but we are told that that Bible is. And you know what? You say, well, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Well, I don't agree with it. You don't have to agree with it. It's not going to change the fact that it's truth. Amen? Hey, listen, when I was young, my dad told me when I had a paperclip one time I was walking towards an outlet. That's just so typical of me. And my dad says, listen, he goes, boy, you better stay away from that outlet with that paperclip. And I looked at him and was like, what's going to happen? He goes, he says, you remember, son, when I told you to put your finger inside that spark plug wire and I pulled the string on that lawnmower? Yes, my dad did that to me. He goes, you know how that felt? I said, yes. He goes, this one's going to feel a whole lot worse if you stick that thing inside that wall. And I looked at him and I was like, I don't believe you. He goes, you don't have to believe me. It's still going to hurt. You know what I did? I stuck that paper clip in there. The second it touched it, it was like it was gone. But not before it got me. Amen? I found out that it was truth whether I believed it or not. Amen? Listen, you should believe every word in that Bible you should believe. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's still truth. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. It's still truth. Listen, a lot of people today, they say, listen, I know the Bible says, but that doesn't matter. What matters is what the Bible says. Not what you think it says, not what you think it teaches, is what does it say. That's what we have to stick with because that's truth. Somebody's got to believe the truth and get back in the Bible and proclaim the truth to others. That's what we can do with the truth that's in the street today. Start believing it. Somebody has to take a stand for the truth. We need Christians today to start living truth rather than living our lives like truth means something rather than living our lives like truth doesn't exist. We know that not every Christian has thrown truth to the street this morning. I look out here and I don't believe that every one of us has thrown the truth to the street. But I tell you this, there are a lot of Christians that have. I saw a poll here not too long ago that it talked about Christians who believed the Bible. And it was astounding. The poll I read showed that less than 50% of professing Christians today say they believe every word of that Bible. And then we wonder why our country is the way it is. That is throwing truth in the street. When you say, I don't believe it, I believe that's just the words of man. You're taking the truth and you're throwing it to the curb. You're saying this. You're saying, that's not my final authority. I'll be my final authority. They were doing that which was right in their own eyes. That's what people are doing today. They're living their lives. They're doing what they think is right, what is right in their own eyes. And therefore, they're not even regarding the truth at all. Now, again, I know that most of you today, that you regard the truth. I know you do. Listen, you're in church today. That's at least regarding some of it. Amen? So I know that, and listen, if you're here this morning and you say, listen, I take a stand for the truth. I believe every word of that Bible. Then amen. I tell you this, if you believe every word of this Bible this morning, you're in the minority amongst Christians today. Amongst Christians. But I tell you this, if you do believe every word, keep it up. Not just believe it, but live according to it. Love it. Listen, love it, obey it, do what it tells you to do, but don't throw it to the curb like many believers have. You want to know what we need to do with the truth in the street? We need to pick it up and proclaim it. We need to live by it. We need to love it. Let's take up the truth this morning. The truth has been falling in the streets. Let's put our opinions aside. Let's put our emotions aside. And just simply do what the Bible tells us to do. Because, folks, the Lord says, thy word is truth. Amen. Thy word is truth. Have you thrown the truth to the street this morning? Or do you believe every word of it? Let's stand.